Study Talmud at chapter 8, text number 251, talks between Sri Chaitanya and Ramananda Raya. This is a long chapter, and it becomes even longer because we only listen this talks on Saturday, so we have been listening to this for, I don't know, a year maybe. So Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Namaon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Vishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama. So Shreya Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahi Ara. So Pushkar is not here to correct me, so. Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiyara.
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 Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiyara.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiyara.
Shreyo Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Shreya Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sara.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiyara.
Shreya Madhikam Shreya Jive Hoysa.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiyara.
Shreya
Madhye Kam Shreya Jive Haya Sa.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiya.
Shreya Madhye Kam Shreya Jive Haya Sa.
Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiya.
Mataji.
Shreya Madhye Kona Shreya Jivera Haya Sa.
Shreya Madhe Kan Shreya Divarhaya Sa Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiya Shreya Madhe Kan Shreya Divarhaya Sa Krishna Bhakta Sangha Vina Shreya Nahiya.
Anybody else?
Shreya Madhi.
Among beneficial activities.
Kona.
Which?
Shreya.
Beneficial function.
Jivera.
Of the living entity.
Haya.
Is.
Sara.
The essence,
Krishna Bhakta Sangha,
for associating with the devotees of Lord Krishna.
Dina,
except.
Shreya,
beneficial activity.
Nahi,
there is not.
Ara,
another. Translation. So this is an answer. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking a question and Ramananda Raya is giving the answer. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? And Ramananda Raya replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. That's so nice, isn't it? Please repeat. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? And Ramananda Raya replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.30, Ata Achantikam Kshemam Prichamo Bhavato Nagaha Samsadesmin Kshnardhopi Satsanga Sivadir Nrinam. We are asking you to tell us what is the most perfect welfare activity. I think that in this material world, association with devotees, even if before a moment, is the greatest treasure house of mankind. These conversations between Maharaj Nimi and the Nava Yogendras. And Prabhupada explains in that verse, sadhu sangha sarva shastrikoi labhamata sadhu sangha sarva siddhihoi Madhya Lila 2254. He explains that labhamatra is 1/11th of a second. Now, a second is like this, a second. So 1/11th of a second is if someone associates with a devotee of Krishna, 1/11th of a second, he can become purified and his life can change. Now, I have experience in my own life. I was just a student going to college, and one day I am going home from college. It's just another day, like every day. I would go to college, then take the bus, go back home, go to college, take the bus, go back home. And one of these days, I'm walking to the bus station, and suddenly I see coming from the opposite direction somebody wearing saffron robes and shaved head, and was a very wide overpass crossing a major avenue. So he was on the same side that I was, but coming from the opposite direction. So when I saw him, I moved to the other side. I didn't want to pass by him. But he was quicker and smarter, so he moved to the other side with me as suddenly we met. And he put, and the next thing I see, I have a book on my hands. And he said, this book, and before he said anything else, said, I already have this book. I gave the book back to him. He was even smarter. He took another book and said, but you don't have this one. This one is new. So I was trying to reject him in every possible way. But you know, he thought, there's no way you're going to get this book. You know? no rejection here. So then, that book was the Shrishopanishad. The first one was Beyond Birth and Death. The second one was Shrishopanishad, and it had that Sri Keshava, not the original cover, Sri Keshava on the cover. And on the back, there was Prabhupada and Radha Kunda. And he said, "No, this book is 5,000 years old, but somehow I understood that Prabhupada was 5,000 years old. I was already so bewildered and confused that the whole thing was so sudden. And I said, I want to buy this book. How much is it?" He said, "I'll just give a donation." So I took some money apart to pay for the bus fare and everything else I gave to him. And it was maybe, you know, 2 minutes, the whole thing, you know, maybe 3 minutes. It was very quick. And suddenly he's gone, and I have the book on my hand. You know, and I go home reading the book. So just like a moment association. So this is, the benefit of associating with the devotees of Krishna. And in this verse that is quoted here from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, text 30, Maharaj Nimi meets the 9 Yogendras. The disciples of Srila Prabhupada give a really, really nice purport. They say that the word sevadi, or a great treasure, is significant in this verse. Just as an ordinary man, when he gets a great treasure, immediately he wants to take care of it. He wants to embrace it. He doesn't want to leave the great treasure on the street. He wants to take care of it immediately. In the same way, when King Nimi received the Navayogendras in his palace, the acharyas comment that he did not follow any of the traditional etiquette, like asking, "How are you doing?" Because he thought, well, they're great saintly persons. They must be doing well. If you're a great saintly person, you're doing well. Or, "What is your business?" Well, he knew that their business, and the only business of a saintly person, is to preach Krishna consciousness. And besides that, he was a little concerned that, "I don't know how long they are going to stay here, so better I get down to business immediately." So he started asking them transcendental questions. He wanted to know what the goal of life is. And in that purport, Jiva Goswami explains that the words atyantikam kshemam, or the supreme good, indicates a situation where you don't have the slightest fear. That you get to a level in life where you don't have the slightest fear. Now, if you think well, no, we are all fearful in this world. Now, we all have some kind of fear. Nowadays, Ebola, I don't know if you follow the news, but Ebola is spreading exponentially in Africa and can go to other places, and people are dying very quickly, the thousands. And then there is war, there is terrorism, people are being decapitated, some other people have cancer, some other people are afraid about their finances. We have all kinds of fear. If we can reach a situation where there is not the slightest chance of fear, that's an amazing situation. That's like the poet Govinda Das Kaviraj, he sings, "No bhaja hure mana shri nanda nandana abhaya charanaravindari," that he is praying to his mind, "Oh mind, please worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda Maharaj, because by worshipping these lotus feet, you can be completely free of all fear." So King Nimi, he knew that this association is so special, is so important. He wanted to take advantage of the association. And in this verse also has the word anagaha, that explains that the Navayogendra, they were sinless. They had no sin. But also means that anybody who associated with them, they would also become sinless. So when we associate with the devotees of Krishna, helps us to become sinless. And I have experience in my own life. It's a very interesting story that when I went to the temple for the first time, so the same devotee that who gave me the book, he was preaching to me. He told me, I asked him, "What are the activities there in the temple?" And he told me the books. "Ah, we have dancing, we have chanting, we have good food." So that's really with me. That's the place I want to go. "So what time do I have to be there on Sunday?" He said, 7 a.m. Wow. It's like unusual. I was used to dancing at night, late at night, 7 a.m. So anyway, I went there. I dressed very nicely, you know. Who knows? So I got there. And then suddenly, I'm cleaning the doors of the temple, had many doors like this, and glass. I was cleaning glass all day long until 4 p.m., you know. And he was preaching to me. And he was preaching to me and, you know, enlightening me. And then I told him, I have to go because today is my girlfriend's birthday. And I was completely in love with this girlfriend. I could not live without her. I could not even think that I would live without her. He said, but now is the, when the feast is starting, all the chanting and dancing is going to start. I said, I've got to go. It's her birthday. So I left. Yeah. And I had learned the mantra by then. And I had the mantra in my mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he gave me some beads. So they didn't have japa mala, so he gave me some beads and he showed me how to make a japa mala from those beads. Then I took the bus to her house, and somehow, I knew where the house was, but somehow I made a mistake, got off the bus, I stopped before the house. And I said, I'm not going to take another bus, I'm just going walking. So I went walking, and I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And I had read in the Shrishta Upanishad that people who are not Krishna conscious, they are in Maya, they're influenced by Maya, by the illusory energy. And I saw those cars passing by, and in my mind I thought, they're all influenced by the Maya, illusory energy. So I finally got to her house. So it was, you know, all the friends were there, and she was all dressed up, and nice nails and hairdo and everything. And somehow, I felt completely out of place. Something happened, something hit me. I said, I'm not feeling good here. Within 5 minutes, I was gone. Never came back to see her. Lost everything completely. Just by that association, the whole heart has changed in one day. Like this. No. So this Vaishnavas, now sometimes we ask, who is a pure devotee? So that devotee was a pure devotee. He completely changed my heart. I had no intention to change. I was running. I didn't want even to see him on the street. I went to the other side. I lied to him. I said I had the book. He forced me to buy the book. You know? So, he is a pure devotee of Krishna. Without those caring souls. You know, Prabhupada could not be everywhere. Without those caring souls, sacrificing their youth, sacrificing their life, going to the streets, waking up early. It's not that they like to do this. None of us like to do that, you know. I used to sleep on the weekends until noon. My mother would force me to wake up. And then the first time I went to the temple, I had to sleep, wake up at 3 o'clock. We didn't like to do that. But we understood that this is good for us. So those great souls, they went to the streets, and then they were so caring. And they gave us the books, and they gave us prasadam, and then we became influenced by that. That's the power of the association. Even a single moment of association. Lava Mata Sadhusanga, a single moment. And according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, this association is the highest benefit we can get. No. Somebody may be a philanthropist or an altruist, and that is very nice. They can open hospitals, they can give food to the poor, no? They can help the sick, and that is very nice. We're not against that. But what happens? You give food to somebody, and again tomorrow he's going to be hungry. Or he's going to suffer from some other problem, or something else will happen in his life. The miseries will not go away. No, Prabhupada used to say, and the scientists, what have they done? No. After so many years of science, people are still dying, people are still getting sick, people are still getting old. They have not changed that. All the basic problems of life. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, this is the highest benefit, is to give somebody Krishna consciousness. And the association of the sadhu. And we have this benefit. We have so many sadhus in our lives. We are, that's why Prabhupada created this movement. So we could associate. And he explains this in his book. Yes. Now he created these temples, these deities, so the devotees could associate. They could listen to Bhagavatam. They could chant together and become enthusiastic. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami on the Madhya Lila 19.151 that Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavam Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bija. Prabhupada translates the word Bhagyavam as the most fortunate. So the person who is most fortunate, he has a chance by inspiration from Krishna to meet his pure devotee, either directly or indirectly. We have the situation, the shortest meeting that Prabhupada had with a devotee. He was taking a connection flight in Fiji, and he met this Indian man at the airport for a few minutes, Vasudeva. And Vasudeva became a devotee, he became a GBC, and the preaching in Fiji is very actually successful. In a very short meeting. The same thing in Russia. Prabhupada went to Russia. And also in so many other places. Like Hayagriva. He saw Prabhupada on the street. And he was attracted. He thought, wow. He had come from India. And we saw Prabhupada because they went to India. He and Kirtananda looking for a guru. And when he saw Prabhupada, he said, wow, is this man following me all the way from India? He thought Prabhupada was following. He said Prabhupada looked like a transcendental aristocrat. And when he was in India with Kirtanananda, one day they were at the top of a building and they were looking at the traffic in Calcutta. Oh, I think we all have seen the traffic in Calcutta. And Kirtanananda said, I would never drive in this place. Never. And then eventually, no, he became a devotee and he went to India with Prabhupada, and what happened? Prabhupada told him, you're going to be my chauffeur. So they were driving. Now Kirtananda was driving. And then at one place, there is the sign that is one way. And Prabhupada said, no, you can go. I said, but Prabhupada, it says it's one way. You can go. Suddenly the policeman stops. Yeah. And Kirtananda is thinking in his head, I told him it was one way. And Prabhupada rolls down the window and talks to the policeman in Bengali. And then tell Kirtananda, okay, you can go now. And Prabhupada said, I told you, you could go. So Kirtananda was convinced that, no, he was right. The policeman is talking with Pradana. So, this association with Vaishnavas can make us most fortunate. Bhagavan. And Prabhupada explains in the purport of this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya, either by chance or good fortune, if one associates with a pure devotee of Krishna, his life can change completely. He can achieve the ultimate goal of life. And one time in a morning walk in London, Prabhupada passed the devotees, and Prabhupada passed through some hippies that were just sleeping on the floor. And they saw Prabhupada and the devotees. And Prabhupada said, they are very fortunate. And a devotee, Badahari, Brajahari, he was asking, but how come, what is this fortunate? I thought, no, everything has a cause. And Prabhupada told him that we are the good fortune. So we are the good fortune of people. Like if it was not for that soul selling me the book, my life would not have changed. Would be the same thing. And even years later, now, 20 years later, my sister, I only have one sister, I don't have any brothers. My sister told me, in a very sincere way, she said, you made the right decision in life. She told me. Now, she realized that was the best thing I could have done. And I had a good life. I didn't have a bad life. I had a good life. Yeah. And Prabhupada explains also that we can see the good fortune in the life of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was the son of a maid servant. He was not the son of brahmanas or highly exalted, spiritually advanced people. So very much like us. No, we're not the children of very advanced people. Actually, Indrajuna Swami was here in Alachua some time ago, and one kid, a child of devotees, told him that, I am a 50-rounder. My parents chanted 50 rounds. No, before the conception. And what about your parents? He told Indrajuna Swami, and Indrajuna Swami is like, I don't know, I think they were drinking whiskey. So we're not children of very advanced people. So in the same way like Narada Muni, so we have something in common. Yeah? So he was the son of a maid servant, but what was his good fortune? that the sages were traveling during the rainy season, and they stopped at his house, and his mother was giving prasadam, and he got their association. He was eating, you know, the leftovers. So he became enlightened by that, just by that association. So the same thing, but we have to keep that association going. No. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, this is very nice, I'm going to read for you. We have to keep that movement, moving and preaching, going on. No, we don't get good fortune, and then we just keep the good fortune for us. It's like if somebody makes the cure for cancer. No, a scientist makes a cure for cancer. They're not going to keep in their lab. No. They're going to spread it all over the world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, this is in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, one who has life can preach. That's what he said. Then Bhaktivikara Swami says, he expected Matavashis to be surrendered, dedicated and detached, joining him in sacrificing their soul for establishing and spreading the mission. He did not want to be surrounded by obsessive sycophants or parasites, flaccid sentimentalists or sluggish procrastinators, nor to produce the kind of sedentary sadhus who for fear of Maya retreat to mountain caves. He considered insufficient that his disciples be cherubic sadhus. Cherubic means like angel-like, very nice, but don't get anything done. You know? So, he considered it insufficient that his disciples be cherubic sadhus or mere pundits or content simply with archana. He wanted men of backbone, active preachers like himself, ready to give their lives for propagating Shuddha Bhakti. He declared, open quotes, I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Mata be prepared to shed 200 gallons of blood for the nourishment of the spiritual body of every individual in human society. Close quotes. To recruit and train men of such caliber, Sri Sarasvati Thakur persisted in speaking and writing untiringly, presenting his spiritual conclusions hour upon hour, day after day. So he wanted them to be ready to spend 200 gallons of blood. And then Prabhupada says in a letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj on the 23rd of August of 1973, I have received one complaint from an Indian devotee at Mayapur, Prabharupa Das Brahmachari, that he is maltreated by our American devotees. Kindly inquire into this matter and do the needful. Either Indian or foreign, whoever joins us, they are not under any obligation. Our only tie is love of Godhead. It should be our definite policy that nobody is ill-treated, that he may go away. We recruit a person to join us after spending gallons of blood. The same terminology that he heard from his spiritual master. We recruit a person to join us after spending gallons of blood. Everyone comes for reformation. You cannot expect everyone to be perfect. Rather, it is our duty to make everyone perfect as far as possible. And then Prabhupada ends. So we shall be very much cautious and careful in this connection. Again. So we shall be very much cautious and careful in this connection. That nobody will go away. On 26th Second Avenue, a bhakta came and left. And when Prabhupada heard he left, he had tears in his eyes. He said, Krishna sent us a soul and you wasted it. And then, when what was his name? That Swami, not Paramahansa. He went to Argentina. He took sannyas and then he went preaching Argentina. Then he fell down. Hanuman. Yes. And then finally he met Prabhupada in Caracas and he was wearing white. And then he told Prabhupada, and now you're going to reject me, you know? And Prabhupada said, why? Oh, because Lord Chaitanya, when one of his sannyas disciples fell down, he rejected him. And Prabhupada said, wow, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He alone can conquer the entire world. I need the help of each one of you. Such humble and encouraging statement. No? I need the help of each one of you. So, then Prabhupada had a dream talking about devotees. We, as devotees of Krishna, we are members of Krishna's family. Now that's what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. We are members of Prabhupada's family, we are members of Krishna family, we are members of Lord Chaitanya family. So in Vrindavan, in 1977, now in the last stage of Prabhupada's life, once he woke up suddenly and he said, "I had a dream." And then everybody surrounded him. "I had a dream. There was an assembly of drunkards. And they were like crazy. And they were causing disturbance. And there were also some devotees chanting. And some drunkards were becoming devotees." And then Tamal Krishna asked, because Tamal Krishna was very interactive and Prabhupada liked him. He didn't like Shrutakirti very much. According to Shrutakirti, said that. Because he wasn't as interactive. And Tamal said, "Well, were some of the chanters also becoming drunkards?" Prabhupada said, "No. Chanters are members of Krishna family. They don't become drunkards. They are on the list back home, back to God." So when I read this, wow. The members of Krishna, the exact word Prabhupada said, their names are listed back to home, back to Godhead. They are in Krishna's family. Wow. Now people feel so proud that I'm part of this family, Rockefeller or Bill Gates. We are part of Krishna's family. You know? Then it came to mind the past time from Bhagavatam 10.62.1, the meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. Know that Usha was the daughter of Banasura, and Banasura was the son of Bali Maharaj. And Banasura, once he received a blessing from Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva was dancing his traditional dance, and Banasura, he had 1,000 arms, and he was playing drums with his 1,000 arms, and Lord Shiva dancing. And Lord Shiva became very satisfied and gave him a blessing of being the guardian of his kingdom. "So I will guard your kingdom. Nobody can ever enter." But then Usha, she was having some dreams. And these dreams, she was dreaming with this beautiful prince. And she was very attached to him. And she was dreaming night after night. And one night, he didn't come in her dream. She woke up very upset, like talking to him. And her female friends saw her. And she was feeling embarrassed. And then Chitraleka, who was her main servant, asked her, "So what's happening?" So then she told her, "Oh, I've been dreaming with this prince." And there's a whole story behind this that explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, but we don't have time. And this is just to explain this point of Krishna being members of Krishna's family. So there's a purpose for this story. And then she explained, and Chitralika said, "I can find him for you." So Chitralika, the meaning of the word Chitralika means the one that's an expert painting or expert in making drawings. So she immediately started making expert drawings of different princes. She made a drawing of Krishna, and Usha said, "No, not this one." She made a drawing of Balaram, said, "No, not this one." She made a drawing of Prajuna, who is Aniruddha's father. And Usha became ashamed and she put her head down. She bent her head down. And then she made a drawing of Aniruddha. She said, "Oh, this is the one," she said. And Chitralika said, "No problem. I'm going to use my mystic powers. I'm going to go over the skyways to Dwaraka and I'm going to bring him for you. I know where he is." So she went through to Dwaraka at night, but it's explained that she could not enter Dwaraka. Dwaraka was extremely fortified, but Narada Muni gave her special mystic powers and instructions so she could enter. And according to other acharyas, no, she was actually Yogamaya personified, and she had the power to enter Dwarka. And Aniruddha was sleeping, and she carried him sleeping and entered the quarters of Usha and said, "Here he is." And Usha took him to her private quarters. And then after some time, the guards, who were female guards, and Aniruddha was staying there for a long time. And everybody was looking for Aniruddha. Where is Aniruddha? Aniruddha is missing in action. He's on the milk carton, missing. Our youth is missing, disappeared, you know. So everybody is looking for him. Nobody is nowhere to be found. Yeah. And then the female guards go to Banasura. Banasura, we have bad news for you. So what happened? Because they were afraid if they don't convey the message and he finds out, they were finished. So they thought, better we go into it. Your daughter is behaving very strangely. There is something going on in her quarters. You better go there. So Banasura went there and he stormed him. And Aniruddha is playing dice with Usha. And very calmly, Aniruddha looks at him and smiles. No anxiety, nothing. Can you imagine that? He is in the princess quarters, hidden, and her father storms in. And he's playing dice and everything is business as usual. He's a very cool head, you know. And then the guards coming to imprison him. And he gets his mace and defeats all the guards that they run away. They all run away. Then Banasura, with his mystic powers, he makes some naga snakes, like ropes made of naga snakes, and captures Aniruddha. However, the acharyas explain, actually Aniruddha could not be captured by those snakes. But Krishna made that arrangement for this pastime to happen. And then eventually, the word gets to Krishna that Aniruddha has been captured. Your grandson has been captured. He's there in Banasura's kingdom. So don't mess with Krishna. That's basically what this story is. So Krishna gets his whole army and Balaram and all his soldiers. Let's go there. Family member. They surround the kingdom completely. Banasura calls for Lord Shiva, the guardian of the city. And Lord Shiva and Banasura and everybody, they are fighting with Krishna. And gradually, Banasura is losing the battle. He's losing the battle. And Krishna is killing everybody. And Balaram is killing everybody. And then finally, Banasura decides to face Krishna with his 1,000 arms. And he has 500 bows and 500 arrows. And he's throwing at Krishna. And Krishna gets his Sudarshan Chakra. He starts cutting off all Banasura's arms. At that point, Lord Shiva asks Krishna, "Just a moment, time out. Let's talk here on the side." He gets Krishna on the side and says, "This is my own by confidential devotee. You know, I gave him blessings. So you are kind of like humiliating him like this. Please, let's do something else. Don't do this to him. You know? So we will fight." So then Lord Shiva is fighting with Krishna now. They have a big fight and he is defeated by Krishna. And then of course, at the end of the story, they take Aniruddha and they free Aniruddha and everything is okay. But you see to what length the Lord is willing to go for a family member that was not even doing the right thing, or maybe he was doing the right thing because he's a kshatriya. No, among kshatriyas has this kind of behavior. But he was willing to go this land of destroying the whole kingdom of Banasura. Fighting with Lord Shiva, who is now Vaishnavanamata Shambhu, his topmost devotee, topmost Vaishnava, who is willing to do all this to help a family member. So being part of Krishna's family is not something trivial or something meaningless. No, it's something very meaningful. Very meaningful. And we have this benefit of this special association. And we should not overlook this. We should not take this for granted. Krishna is not evil, but he can punish. He can punish the devotee. Now sometimes people punish others because they're evil. They just want to be evil. But Krishna punishes, but he is not evil. He has no evil desire. He just wants to help. So he can punish his family members. Like, you know, a father will punish his a child. And Prabhupada sometimes punished his disciples. I think I'm going to stop here. I have more information to discuss, but it's getting the time. Do you have any questions, any comments? If there's time, I want to talk, tell you one really wonderful pastime.
Last night, I was in Harinam, and there was a bhakti, a bhakti Carly, and we were walking to Harinam together. So she, you know, she's very new. She was so excited, and she was so happy to be. She actually said, you know, part of, I feel like I have a big family. I feel like this family is more my family than, you know, my birth family, right? It just brought back all that excitement that we all have when we first, you know, become devotees, how special it is. And we're talking about, yeah, like you can go anywhere in the world and you have all this in common with the devotees, you know, whether it's Switzerland or Africa or Europe, you know, someplace in Europe, South America, Mangalartik, you know, Bhagavatam class, prasadam. So you, it is such a fortunate position to be in.
You somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, you opened the door to my test time here. you can see it's amazing. But this is a letter sent by Father Ernest Kish, nothing to do with Kishore, but that's his name, Ernest Kish, to Chitsukananda. Look at this. I wanted to send this letter to you to express my deep appreciation for your concern during my recent stay in San Francisco. My trip to California was for the purpose of seeing some friends and relaxing a little after a very strenuous meeting of the National Federation of Priests Council's Executive Board. We have been trying very hard to change the priorities of the Catholic Church and to educate our people to a deeper concern for the things of God. When I first saw the devotees on Mark Street, I was fascinated by the chanting and the youth of those who were dancing and singing. One of the girls gave me a copy of the magazine and invited me to the temple. As you know, I spent many hours watching and enjoying this wonderful phenomenon. Having seen many false things in my life as a Catholic and as a priest, I wanted to be sure that what I saw was genuine. I came to the temple not so much for curiosity as for the purpose of learning something of the secret of the joy and peace I saw in the eyes of those devoted to Krishna. My heart was overjoyed to find what I found. The chanting and dancing are so simple and yet so meaningful in the approach to God. And he goes on and on. He was like completely sold on it, you know. He saw the skirt and he realized there's something special here. Something special. Another question? Another comment question?
Not the topic of family. And I'm thinking in the area of prayer, I remember Atmatapa's wife many, many years ago, and she's from Puri. She always carried her Jagannath deities with her and was so devoted to them. It really struck me at that
Whose
time.
Whose wife is that?
Atmatapa.
Atmatapa, Prabhupada disciple?
Prabhupada disciple, yeah. And she was just so dependent and so wrapped up in her relationship with Jagannath in every way, in every level of her life. And I learned that, you know, many people in Puri have this relationship with Lord Jagannath like a family member. Every issue was taken before Jagannath to resolve, you know. So I'm questioning how, in one sense, we want to pray to Krishna, we want to depend on him for guidance, for leading us and giving us understanding of what steps to take, how to, you know. And then there's things that come up in our family, and so how to not be an order supplier in a way, but yet still depend on Krishna.
That's a good question. Not be an order supplier, but it still depends on Krishna. Well, there are two types of order supplier. Or, no, one person goes to God because he wants things for his own enjoyment. But another one can go to Krishna because he wants things to facilitate his devotional service. And when Prabhupada went to Australia and installed the deities, he had to leave. And he could not train the devotees properly, so he prayed to the deities, you know, my Lord, I cannot stay here to train them, so you have to train them. So that wasn't an order supplier for personal satisfaction, but no, he's asking Krishna to facilitate his devotional service. So Krishna is a person, and being a person, you know, we can talk to him. I can talk to my father, my mother, my friend, no, my son. So I don't see anything wrong if the order supplier is for the service of Krishna and not for sense gratification. Prabhu. Jamasani Prabhu.
Yeah, there's a verse, I believe it's the 22nd chapter of Madhilila. Shara Shabde Vishvash Kahe Shudida Nishtaya Krishna Bhakti Kale Sarvakarma Krita Hoy. That faith means that one is convinced that simply by rendering service to Krishna, that automatically all subsidiary activities are automatically achieved. So that there's dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So those are the areas of order supplying. So the devotee doesn't so much concern himself with this. He's focused, you know, on increasing his service to Krishna. He's focused on getting intelligence from Krishna, how to render the service. This isn't something, that's not order supplying. Or he has a strong desire to advance. That's acceptable within the parameters of Uttama Bhakti. So we want that. We want to come closer. That's what it means to advance. So I missed some of the question.
There's also that point that Prabhupada makes that now we have to have the basic needs to keep the body and soul together. And he also, in a letter from Vijaya, the Sankirtan minister, that was read here in the temple by Mother Mukha some time ago, Vijaya wrote that Prabhupada said that the devotees should take very good care of their health, because they need to have a long life, because they require a lot of purification. I'm paraphrasing here, but basically it was this. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. So we have to have some, no. Even there's that pastime that Lord Chaitanya told one devotee to take care of the other one because he didn't take care of his finances. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you have to help him control his finances. Remember that?
I know on a 74 morning walk in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said to Dhananjaya, health first, sadhana second, and service third. A little unusual statement, but yeah, that was the emphasis, because it's not our body, it's Krishna's body that he let us have to use in the service. So we have to,
it's another instrument, like we have mridanga, we have karpa, the body is another instrument. Question.
I was just thinking that ultimately, Krishna does whatever he wants, right? Because sometimes we're praying for something, but he knows what's best for us, or, I mean, I don't know, we deserve or whatever it is, but One time I was out on Sankirtan and it was Ekadasi and I was very negligent. I did not take prasadam and I did not have any money. So when I got there, I was hungry.
Yeah, that's a very bad situation.
So I was very hungry and I was praying, Krishna, let me distribute one book right away so I can go and buy some boga and I can do an offering for Ekadasi so I can get some energy. So that was my prayer before getting out of the car with my books. I usually have a float, you know, but that day it was bad. But you know, Krishna even didn't let me do that because I opened the car and right on the ground it was a roll of money right there. So I did not distribute any books. I just went in the store and got me some bananas. And
that's really nice. We have just a couple of minutes. I want to tell you what a pastime. I don't know if you know this one or not, but it was in 1970. And Jamuna and Guru Das were traveling with Prabhupada from Amritsar to Delhi. And she decided to go with her friend who was, I can't remember the name, she was with another Mata, Kaushalya. She decided to go with Kaushalya from her train car to where Prabhupada was with Guru Das, because Prabhupada was in the front car. And when she got there, Prabhupada was lying on the bench with one knee up, and he was covered by some dark sparks that came from the locomotive, you know. But he was very joyful. And she said, Prabhupada, do you need anything? And Prabhupada said, yes, I want rice with lemon. What was that again? Let's see if we can find it here. I want some hot rice with lemon and black pepper. Okay, said, we'll get it for you, Prabhupada. So she went to the kitchen. It was a big kitchen with big pots, and there were some cooks with aprons, and the aprons were very yellow and turmeric. And she explained, oh, my spiritual master, he is the founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and he wants hot rice. And we would like to cook hot rice for him here. And the Indian man, in his best English, he said, no possible. No possible. He said, no, but he's not my master, my guru. He said, no possible. So she decided to go to the head cook. There was a guru of the kitchen. So she went to the head cook. She explained, so I'm a disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he's traveling on this train, and he wants hot rice, and we need permission to cook in the kitchen. And the head cook, the chef said, no possible. No possible. And now she's kind of running out of options. What is she going to do? But she decided to go to the train conductor, you know, the main, you know, the Mahaguru of the train, you know. So she went there and she said, no, I'm a disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. And he's traveling on this train. We're going to Delhi. And he wants hot rice. And before the man said anything, she said, and if I cannot cook hot rice for him, I'd rather jump off this train and commit suicide. And then there was a pause. And the man said, you can go and cook hot rice for him. It's all right. And then she went there, and they didn't have any small pot. They only had these huge pots. But now, what amazed me was the extent of... She was ready to do it. She said, no, then I'm jumping off right now. That's it, you know. She was ready to do anything for Prabhupada, you know. And then she comes with the plate of hot rice. And Prabhupada was very happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.